Today on Straight Talk Africa, the World Cup, breaking records, making history, and for Africa, a rich return. But did issues of pay and mismanagement distract them from their performance? That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, July 9th, 2014. I am Shaka Salih.
And hello to you, Shaka.
And hello, Mariama.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Before we begin today's program, we'd also like to extend our welcome to a new affiliate. Tero 10 TV is a private television station that is based in the Rwandan capital, Kigali. You're most welcome to the Straight Talk Africa family. And today is a big day for football, as the last two teams, in less than 2 hours, will battle in the last of the semi-finals of the World Cup in the Brazilian city of Sao Paulo.
And given the game we witnessed yesterday between Brazil and Germany, there is a lot at stake at today's game. Well, coming up later in our STA inbox, our audience have gone nuts and we've been bombarded with predictions of all sorts, nearly 8,000 views and about 1,000 comments on our question of the week. I can't wait to reveal some of them. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, bonus disputes, strike threats, and even a plane full of cash. Still, Africa turned in a fine performance in Brazil, although they didn't make it past the quarterfinals. My colleague Paul Sisco has more on the story and some predictions from Voice of America's ardent sports fans.
Only three teams from the continent have ever reached the quarterfinal stage of the World Cup: Cameroon in 1990, Senegal in 2002, and Ghana in 2010. So we'll still have to wait for Africa to make it to the Final Four. In Brazil, Nigeria's Super Eagles World Cup exit came after losing to France 2-0 in the round of 16.
It didn't go our way, so we are not happy. But we have no choice. That is the spirit in football, you understand. One person have to lose, one person have to win. So that's the spirit of the game.
Algeria also made it to the round of 16, their dream shattered by Germany 2-1. After knocking out the U.S. in two previous World Cups, Ghana went home in the group stages, losing to Portugal. Cameroon went home without a win in the group stage, losing their last contest to host Brazil 4-1. And it ended for the Ivory Coast when they lost to Greece 2-1 in the group stages. VOA's Lenore Madu.
I'm really sorry that the Cote d'Ivoire lost, and I really hope now for Argentina. Go Argentina, go Messi.
Then there were four: Brazil, Germany, the Netherlands, and Argentina.
Germany versus Argentina. And who's going to come up number one? Argentina.
The Netherlands, I think, is the best.
Look at what they're doing to Brazil. They're like completely, if I knew how to say route in German, I would say route in German, but I don't know how to say it, but I'm hoping Germany wins.
Now there are three.
Germany, Argentina, and the Netherlands. Got to favor Argentina because number one, no European team has ever won when the World Cup's been played in the Americas, and they've got the best player in the world, Lionel Messi.
Nearly 1 billion people watched Spain win the 2010 World Cup final in South Africa. FIFA expects the biggest and most watched single sporting event in the world will set new attendance records on Sunday, July 13th.
Going with the Dutch, to lift the trophy on July 13th in Rio de Janeiro, like Shaka Sali, from the deepest, better part of the softest part of my heart, I do have a soft spot for the Dutch. Three times they've been runner-up at the World Cup, 74, 78, and 4 years ago in South Africa. You gotta go with the Dutch to lift the trophy on Sunday. Go, Dutch!
We'll see, Sonny. Paul Sisco, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now, for more from where the action is taking place, I am joined by my colleague, VOA correspondent Scott Babb in Rio de Janeiro. Good evening, Scott. Is it good evening or is it good afternoon, actually?
Good evening, Shaka. It's nearly evening here. It's a late afternoon. And a special greeting to Sonny. Glad to see he hasn't lost his exuberance.
So, now, Scott, what's the mood like on the ground in Brazil, especially given yesterday's stunning loss against the Germans?
Well, it's certainly more subdued than it was 24 hours ago. Many of the Brazilian fans are sad that there were a lot of tears both on and off the field. There was some anger and there were a few incidents. Some Brazilians have been critical of the coach's selection for months, and they were sort of saying, I told you so. And then others were philosophical, reminding us that it's a game and some people have to lose.
You know, Scott, there's a saying that success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. Any evidence on that so far, at least, you know, from your vantage point in Rio de Janeiro?
Well, I would say this failure has many orphans, but to actually, a lot of the comments I've heard from Brazilians is that those four goals scored within 6 minutes in the first half, they blame on the loss of the captain in the quarterfinals, Thiago Silva, due to a useless foul on the Colombian goalie. And he was the center defender, and that's where all of the failures occurred then. After that, it was 5-0, and there was just a loss of momentum and some sort of spirit among the Brazilians. Others blame the coach for his selection and for the people he chose to replace both Silva and Neymar, who was injured, as we know, in the quarterfinals. But all in all, I think the mood goes on, the party goes on. Right now, the Argentines are getting all excited because their match is due to kick off. So the World Cup continues, and yes, it's a sad day for Brazil, but they're already plotting their comeback.
I was looking at the Brazilian media, and it is characterizing their team's defeat as the shame of shames. What exactly is that supposed to mean?
Well, I think, first of all, there's a great deal of pride in Brazil here and in their national team, five-time world champions. There was also a great deal of confidence that with Neymar and some of these other great players that they were going to take the cup. And, in fact, I think it was that expectation that was the most difficult to swallow. So, yes, there is a lot of that. And, of course, the media, who have been following this for months, are quick to criticize and to find fault. And even the coach, Felipe Scolari, has blamed himself for it today. So I think you're going to see that, and that's part of losing, but football will continue, and so will this World Cup.
You know, there is a man back in 1950 from the team of Uruguay who has said that there are only three people that have succeeded at making the Maracana silent. That is the Pope, Bob Harp, and himself, after he had, of course, scored the second goal in 1950 to defeat Brazil 2-1. Are there any similarities, the contrast that you can draw from yesterday's game and that game of 1950 in the Maracana, which apparently accommodates about 200,000 spectators?
Well, I like you, Shaka, we were, of course, very young back then, and so might not remember it. But the one comparison to make is that it was played in Brazil, and there were great expectations that Brazil would win. Otherwise, by the way, the pundits now are calling the 1950 defeat an honorable defeat because it was only 2-1, whereas this one was by 6 goals. I was looking back in the records, and Brazil has lost by 6 goals before and in some important matches, one in 1930. There were some severe losses in 1987 and in the 1920s. So it's not that they haven't lost like this. But again, the main reason is they were hosting the event. And as we all know, 1/3 of all World Cups have gone to the host nation in history. So there was just a great expectation that, of course, has been dashed. But again, many Brazilians are philosophical, and they're going on with it, and they're still enjoying to watch the football.
What about the organization, Scott? Because there were a lot of critics who said that Brazil couldn't possibly pull it off.
Well, that's what they say about every World Cup organizer. I remember them saying that about South Africa 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and it came off. The Brazilians left much until the last minute, and yes, there were some things like access roads and so forth that were not completed in time. The Olympics now becomes a worry in 2 years, but they did manage to pull off and complete almost all the stadiums. And in terms of the access and the organization, these expensive repairs and refurbishments to the stadiums often were to accommodate FIFA's requirements for safety, security, services like toilets and concession stands. So they, in a way, had to do some of this, and there is some resentment against FIFA for that. In terms of how it was organized, I would say really it's up there, and many of the organizers have said it's one of the best. I tend to think South Africa's was as good, if not better. But the other thing to note is that the hospitality, the friendliness of the Brazilians has been noted by everyone here, even the Argentines, the traditional rivals next door. So all in all, I think it's going to go down as a good World Cup, despite the sad departure of the Brazilians in the semifinals.
Final question, what about the possible political implications, given that we do have elections coming up in October, including the presidency? How does the Workers' Party and its, of course, flag bearer, the incumbent president Dilma Rousseff, how does it look like for her?
Well, the demonstrations died down during the World Cup. They're expected to come back as the campaigning gets serious before October's election. Many people are angry over the corruption in Brazil, not just of the World Cup, but everywhere, especially in government. And also they're angry at the high cost, believing that really all that money doesn't really go down to the poor, just enriches wealthy companies and individuals. So this will return too, I'm sure. Brazil is an emerging democracy and with a lot of problems, and people now are more and more educated, more and more aware with the free media, with the social media. There are tremendous campaigns that are going on, and so yes, we'll see more of this, and sometimes it's not pretty, but it's all part of the process of trying to change the past and change the way business is done and a country is run. So expect to see more of it, definitely.
Thank you very much, Scott, for your insight. Now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Felipe Jau, the head coach for Howard University's men's soccer team, located here in the nation's capital. He played for the U.S. national soccer team from 1989 to 1991. Born in Ghana, his father is former Ghanaian national football star Joseph Nana Jau, and his son, Joseph Claude, currently plays professionally in Germany. I have to say, frankly, Philip, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you so much for having me, Shaka. I really appreciate
it. You're most welcome. And the one and only, of course, Sunny Young, host of VOA's The Sunny Side of Sports, an energetic and action-packed look at both world and African sports, broadcast on VOA Radio, our daily TV show, Africa 54, and the internet. Well, what can I say? Welcome back, Sunny Young.
Thank you, Shaka. Great to be here.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests.
I can stay in case.
The number to call is 202-619-3111. Your country code is 1. Now, Philip, what is your immediate reaction to what happened yesterday? Let's face it.
Yesterday, my daughter and I were sitting there watching the game and just could not believe what we were watching. Because we were telling everyone Brazil is going to win. Brazil is going to win because they're playing at home. They've got their fans behind them. And the first 20 minutes, Brazil was expecting Germany just to come out and lay down and just not fight. And they came on, they gave it all they had. But it just wasn't enough. Germany scored those two quick goals, and Brazil had no answers for them.
Very strange. They seem to have won the World Cup all over the place, except right at home, where they should be doing it.
That's right. But, you know, my thinking is this, especially in the midfield, the way they were playing, they have Fernandinho and Luis Gustavo in the middle. And they both play the same way. They're very defensive-minded players. And they needed some attackers, you know, like someone like Ronaldinho, you know, someone that has the flair that can get past those kind of players in Germany, because Germany, they're very organized. I've been going to Germany for the past 10 years. My son plays there. And then so I know the tactics of their game. They shrink the field, and it takes someone like an artist to get between those guys. And if you have a bunch of defensive midfielders in there, it's very difficult to get past them.
You know, what is interesting about this is that the only team, in fact, that has really given a bit of hell to Germany, the only teams are African teams.
Yeah.
You're talking about Ghana, for example, which drew with Germany. And then you're talking about Algeria, correct?
That's right. But you see, the, in Ghana, the players, very one-on-one, very skilled, very aggressive. And I'm not saying that Brazil didn't have those kind of players. They have them, but they didn't use them against Germany. And Algeria is the same. One-on-one, those players are excellent. They have a lot of speed up top, and that's what you need against the Germans. And Brazil has Fred. Fred is not fast. And if Neymar was there, that's another story. But with Fred, the Germans were not worried about Fred getting behind the defense. And then so they just made the field a little bit small, and that was the end of Brazil.
What about you, Sania?
Well, Scott, Bob mentioned how Silva wasn't on the pitch for the Brazilians against the Germans, and he's their captain. And, you know, I've heard him described as the defensive sentry for the Brazilian team. And he basically tells the back line where they should be positioned. And it was stunning how the open space that Germany had in front of the goal. And you know, maybe things would have been different if Silva had been out there. I don't know. But that said, Germany was clinical in their finishing. And shout out for Klose. I think he had one of the goals. 16 goals now at the World Cup. All-time record for a player at the World Cup.
You know, of course, when you go back to history, no European team so far has been able to win the World Cup on Latin American soil. I gather that the Germans did their homework. They did some scientific homework
to the extent
that they figured out how to actually beat Brazil.
I read a report that they did exactly that, Shaka, that they had done some scientific studies of the Brazilians, their tendencies, climate in
Brazil. Their reaction when they're fouled.
It certainly looked like they had done their homework on Tuesday.
You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic and quite passionate feedback we've received through social media. But before that, I'd like to salute the fans. I couldn't show everyone from the 32 participant countries, but we picked a few, at least from our five lucky African countries, starting with Ivory Coast. We looked at Ivory Coast. We have Nigeria fans, Cameroon, Ghana, and Algeria. We also looked at some from the four finalists, including Lionel Messi's country, Argentina, Ruud Gullit's with the Netherlands, and Germany, the happiest ones at the moment, and of course, the saddest of all, the Brazilians, after their encounter with Germany yesterday. Oh well, it's sports, and we'll have more on that when we return. Meanwhile, I'll leave you with our letter of the week.
Hussein Mayomba in Dodoma, Tanzania writes, "The African teams in the FIFA 2014 World Cup were really distracted by the simple materialistic issues rather than patriotic feelings to their countries. The teams have failed to bring not only solidarity to the continent, but also the respect, glory, and much less an honorable defeat. On the other side, the football governing bodies at both national and international level, of which most of them are haunted by corruption and malpractice allegations, must try their best to meet the requirements of their teams, and transparency should be a mandatory aspect, especially in financial issues."
Who like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call us collects and we'll pay for the call. Or call directs and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back, Esther Githui, and thank you so much. And you're welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in our social media reporter, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. This has been a history-making World Cup for Africa, and not just for the number of contentious meetings, suspensions, and threatened player boycotts. For the first time, two teams from the soccer-adoring continent advanced, only to be knocked out off the tournament. So despite no African teams making it to the semifinals, the tournament reaches beyond ethnic, political, and regional divides, with people uniting to support the beautiful game of football, also referred to in America as soccer. Well, this brings us to our question of the week, which simply asks, who do you think will win the 2014 FIFA World Cup and why? Well, we'll jump right into your feedback and begin with a post from Philemon Fury from Lusaka in Zambia, who writes, I feel Germany will win this year's World Cup before they play as a team, unlike other countries that rely on their individual star players, such as Argentina's Messi and Brazil's Neymar. Another comment comes from Straight Talk Africa's Facebook fan Okugbo Omonua Igodalo of Abuja in Nigeria. I hope I didn't slaughter his name. The Netherlands will win World Cup 2014. They are focused and a business-minded team. They are so creative that they can penetrate any defense. Add their fearlessness and very strong midfield and defense, you have a team that is set to take the trophy to Amsterdam. Surely it's the Dutch time. Well, hallelujah to my bro here in Abuja. The Netherlands team is one of my favorites. And I'd love to see them, of course, advance all the way. And I see that we all kind of have our biases between Sunny and Shaka. But Shaka, a quick precision about our first comment. It was actually pulled before the Germany-Brazil game yesterday. The viewer seems to have had a premonition after the upset inflicted to the Brazilian team that has everyone talking. So the million dollar question is about star players like Neymar from Brazil, who didn't play yesterday. How much weight do they really carry? If you ask me, I believe some are overrated and everyone in a team is a star because you can't do it alone, no matter how good you are and how much you're paid. Shaka?
Philip, what about you? Who do you pick to win, the team or the individual star? Led teams.
Well, after yesterday, I mean, Germany has been playing well throughout the whole tournament. But after yesterday, I think Germany is going to win the World Cup. They have the best team. Toni Kroos doesn't lose the ball. Excellent player. He can shoot from outside. Ozil out on the left side. He can take people on one-on-one. He gets up and down the field. Philipp Lahm. The captain, Philipp Lahm, he's excellent. He's excellent. I've been watching this guy for the past, say, 10 years, and that guy doesn't make mistakes on the field. And with this team, tactically, technically, it's the best team in the world right now.
Sunday, what about you? You know, of course, we talked a little bit earlier about 1983. You remember the University of Houston?
You had different sport.
Yes, you had Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon, and what have you. You can remember how they romped through, the tournament, And of course, Louisville in the semifinals, and everybody expected them to win it all. That's but what happened against Jim Valvano of NC State?
They lost. I remember Valvano cutting down the nets.
So is it possible that Germany, in fact, may have peaked at the wrong time?
Well, sure. I mean, did they play their best match against the Brazilians? I mean, that's possible. The other side is that they're going to carry over to the final on Sunday and continue their peak performance. But I have to sort of agree with Philip that, you know, right now Germany looks really tough. I mean, they seem to be firing on all cylinders. The Dutch are my sentimental pick for mainly because they haven't won the trophy before like the other teams. But Argentina with Messi, I think he scored 4 of their 8 goals in the tournament so far. Mm-hmm. Their team is built around him. I don't know whether he's going to be enough to top the Germans, though, at this point.
But what's the difference between, for example, the Germans and the Dutch if they happen to have a replay of 1974 in West Berlin when Germany was actually West Germany? And you had Gerd Müller scoring the second to beat the Dutch. And the Dutch had a guy called Johan Cruyff.
Yeah, and this time around, they have Robin. And Van Persie.
Yes.
Some great players up front.
And they play Toto football. They are a team, just like the Germans.
Yeah, they are a team, but the Germans are a little bit stronger.
I see. I
think the Germans are tactically better. The Holland, they go up. They go up, and they're sort of like Brazil, they're sort of like a European South American team. They go up, they all attack, but they're missing De Jong. De Jong is that defensive midfielder that just stops everything, and now he's hurt. Mm. They say he might come back, but if he comes back, they have a good chance. But if he's not playing, I just can't see them beating Germany.
I hear you. Well, Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with our audience, please?
Well, I would love to watch one of those games, Germany, Netherlands in the finals, and I'm not so sure about Germany. But anyway, that's my own bias. Let's move on to a posting. I think it's going to be really hard to convince our guests over there, but it's okay. Let's move on to another posting from Dennis Munyo from Sita Mukono in Uganda, who writes, "The question is irrelevant to Africa. Why is it that in the Olympics, African teams seem not to be the underdog? The Nigerians can tell it better. But when it comes to the World Cup, there seems to be a disconnect between the African talent and the game." Well, one more comment from Moy Resendez from Hidalgo in Mexico, or Mexico, who says, "I hope it will be Argentina because the World Cup has to stay in South America." Well, I got to say, the South American teams really worked it, and I actually thought the cup could also go to South America with teams like Colombia. And I think it's still possible for the cup to go to Diego Armando Maradona's country, also known as Lionel Messi's country, Shaka.
Very interesting. Philip, what about that?
For the cup staying in South America.
Yeah, and also make some comparisons about how African countries have fared in Olympics. They have won the gold medal for Olympics.
Well, the Olympic is under 23 tournament, right? And World Cup is like, seasoned professionals. Everyone's playing. Everyone's allowed to play. And in the Olympics, you can have maybe 3 professionals that are playing on that team. So a youth tournament is a little bit different from a World Cup. And I think the problem with the African teams, that's my opinion, that when they come home, right, they're not making the kind of money that they're making as they are in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that they're playing for the country so much, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas you have teams like Mexico, when those guys are playing and they're playing for that jersey, that the mm-hmm. Brazilians, they act the same way, mm-hmm. but for whatever reason, it's not happening for the African teams. And I just can't pinpoint my finger on it, but it's just too much infighting. You have Cameroon, Song and Samuel Eto'o, fighting against themselves. You have this camp and this camp. How can you win like this? You cannot. You know, Ivory Coast, you have Didier Drogba, Didier Zakora, Yaya Toure, Kolo Toure, Arthur Boka, all these big-time international players, and they can't win. They've not won an African Cup. They can't win in the World Cup. They lost to Greece. And all they had to do was tie the game. The game was tied, 2 minutes left to go, and the entire entire Ivory Coast team went on an attack, counterattack. They lost the ball up top, and then they were jogging back. And Greece knew they had to win and countered them really quickly. And before you know it, boom, a guy's tripping a guy in the box, penalty kick, game over. You know, in that case, you have to have the discipline to stay back, take the ball to the corner, hold it, stall as long as you can, and kill the game off.
I see.
And that was the problem.
Well, thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Great months it's been. I wish it would never end, or at least it could come on like every 2 years. Not sure if my heart would be able to handle all the excitement and the suspense till the last second of each game. Anyway, hope you had fun watching World Cup. Even if your team has lost, we appreciate everyone's feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can simply join our YouTube channel to subscribe to VOA TV to Africa. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, South Sudan, 3 years after independence. Conflict, social unrest, and famine still plague the world's youngest country. We'll talk about that and more next week right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Before we pause for a short break, I would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is on the social networking website Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Two African teams for the first time at any given World Cup made it past the group stages. Of 17 games played by African teams at the World Cup, only 3 were won, another 3 were drawn, and 11 lost. $3.5 million is the amount in U.S. dollars airlifted by Ghana's government to the Stars camp to meet the players' pressing financial demands. A pair of Ghana's biggest players, Montari and Kevin Prince Boateng, were axed by the Black Stars camp for gross insubordination prior to the West Africans' final Group G fixture against Portugal. Prior to Algeria's 4-2 victory over South Korea in Porto Alegre, no African team had scored as many goals in a FIFA World Cup match.
Up nonstop, voafootball.com.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call us collects and we'll pay for the call. Or call directs and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back. If you have just joined us, we are talking about the 2014 World Cup tournament. Our distinguished guests are Philip Jau, the head coach for Howard University's men's soccer team, located here in the nation's capital. He played for the U.S. national soccer team from 1989 to 1991. And Sunny Young, host of VOA's English to Africa's Sunnyside of sports. Well, gentlemen, I have to say, frankly, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thanks for having us.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Shaka.
You're most welcome. Now I'm joined by my colleague, Nicolas Pinault, VOA French to Africa correspondent in the city of Belo Horizonte in Brazil. Football fans around the globe were astounded, of course, when the tournament's host country, Brazil, was humiliated by the Germans. Now, Pinault, good evening. How are you today? Pinault, can you hear me?
Everything here is very morning. The mood here in Belo Horizonte is... Yes, I can hear you. And here in Belo Horizonte, the mood is like a morning nation. They have the dream to win the World Cup. And right now, it's like a nightmare for them. They just woke up this morning, very sad, Shaka. And you can tell here, there's not any Brazilian flag in the streets. It's like you're any street in the world. I mean, you don't feel like it's the World Cup anymore. And it's very sad to see. And last night, the game was very painful to watch with the Brazilians.
What about you, Nicole? What was the reaction, really? Because I guess that you watched the game, did you?
Yeah, and I mean, the first 29 minutes when the Germans scored five times, it was a record in the World Cup history, people started crying, and it was unbelievable because everybody would expect that Brazil might reach the final in Maracana and Rio on Sunday. And now, on this game in Belo Horizonte, you saw the Germans playing almost like Brazilians. Everything was so easy for them, and they scored five goals. It was the worst performance in a team, even worse than Zaire in 1974 against Yugoslavia. So everybody here is very ashamed of the game last night.
You can't say it was worse than Zaire in 1974, Nicole, because the last time I checked, history will support me, at least by saying that the then country known as Yugoslavia beat then Zaire 9-0, 9-0. Huh?
Yeah, it was another time, another century.
It was another time, another century, and of course, those were also tournament, really, sort of level. It was not at that height, someone going for the gold and playing, of course, on a friendly soil. What about the experience that you have had in watching some of the African teams in the tournament, Nico? You have two teams, Ghana, for example, which drew with Germany 2-2. And then you had Algeria, which gave a very, very hard time to that great German team. How would you compare and contrast those African teams to yesterday's match, really, between Germany and Brazil?
You're right. You're right, Shaka. And first, it was really a shame, like for the Cameroonian team. Cameroon was really a shame because it was a team who played against Brazil, and the scores were really poor. But then, you're right, especially with Ghana, there was hope, but unfortunately, they did not make it. And then you had some troubles among the team, like Sule Muntari and Kevin Prince-Boateng were expelled from the team because of these undisciplined problems. And the fresher here, the fresh touch, I would say, will be Algeria, because they were able to make it to the round of 16, and they play pretty well against Germany. And Germany had to go on overtime to beat Algerians. And with what happened last night in Brazil, Algerians people, they feel pretty proud of what they did against Germany because they were able to go to overtime and not Brazil. And the other part is like the African champion, Nigeria. We were able to play pretty well against France, but unfortunately, they did not make it to the quarterfinal. But among the African team, you have a pride for Nigeria and Algeria, but for Cameroon, and especially for Ivory Coast, people, they're expecting more for those teams. And right now, you have a lot of disappointment, and especially in Ivory Coast, because Didier Drogba, it was his last World Cup, and they won't win anything else. So it's a mixed feelings for African teams, but we are very proud for Nigeria and Algeria.
Well, what about the fact, Nicolas, that African teams have won the World Cup under 21 and under 17, and yet, several years later, they can't win the real thing, the big one.
You're right, Shaka, and it's always the big question with African nations when they play the World Cup. You remember 4 years ago, it was Ghana playing against Uruguay, and they lost in quarterfinal. In this World Cup, no African team made it to the quarterfinal. And we will need to ask to Sonny what he thinks about it, but I think the problems that they have among the players is it's one of the key issues, because you have great talents in Ghana, Nigeria, and Ivory Coast. That's not the problem. But when they play for the national team, it's always very complicated. You have the prime, the bonuses, the a lot of issues among the players. So I think the talent is not the problem, but it's the organization among the team, the national team.
Last question, Nicole. Do you think, as some people have suggested, that the issue of Africa, frankly, is not lack of talent, is not lack of competence, in as far as, frankly, the player is concerned, but is lack of management. Lack of management, lack of social welfare, really.
I mean, you're right. I mean, people don't like, especially, it's to have foreigners coming and train the Africans, because, for example, Nigeria with Stephen Keshi made it great. Stephen Keshi played the World Cup as a player, and he was able to qualify for the round of 16 for Nigeria. So I think the management is not the problem, but it's all the political environment that you have around the African team. And usually there is a mix of politics and football, and usually the two, they don't get along together. And I think that's the thing you don't have with European team. And I think that's something that African team, they have to really work hard for the next World Cup to avoid the collusion between politics and football.
Well, Nicolas Pinault, thank you so much for your insight, and keep doing a great job, okay? Thank you so much. Well, I have to go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers, and I gather that I do have Agustino from Juba, the capital of South Sudan. Good evening, Agustino. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Agustino, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm can afraid. Hear you, Chaka. I can hear you.
Yes, how are you today, Agustino?
I'm fine, Chaka. How are you, too?
I am hugely terrific. What is your question, Agustino?
Yeah, you know, it was so shocking yesterday tournament between Brazil and Germany. For those who are supporters of Brazil, it has really embarrassed the supporters. It is so shame for the Brazil 10-7-1 for the first time.
I see. Let's go to... Yes, your question?
Yeah, my question is, I really don't know why Brazilian had left out the best players, like those of Robinho, those of Kaká, and even those of Denilson, because they participated in the tournament of 2002, where they lifted a trophy, a World Cup.
I see. Thank you very much. Let me go to Don from Nigeria. Good evening, Don. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Oh, thank you, Shaka. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. And you?
Terrific.
Good evening to the guests in the studio there.
Good evening, Don.
Good evening. Yesterday was a very sad day, not only to Brazil, but the entire World Cup game in Brazil. It made the World Cup not very interesting anymore. Brazil, the host country, is no more there. The crowd is no more there.
Well, I'm afraid that we sort of experienced some technical difficulties there. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. If you wish to participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. And the US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
Ghana's striker Asamoah equaled and later surpassed Cameroonian Roger Milla as Africa's all-time top scorer in FIFA World Cup history with a record-breaking 6-goal against Portugal on June 26. The most any single African player scored in Brazil was 2 goals, an honor shared by an elite 7, including 2 players in Algeria, 2 from Ghana, 2 from Ivory Coast, and 1 from Nigeria. The Cameroon Indomitable Lions were statistically the worst team at the ongoing games. Rooted to the bottom of Group A, they failed to register a single point and had the worst goal difference, -8, of all 32 participants. Against France in the ill-fated round of 16 clash, Joseph Yobo rounded off a century of caps for Nigeria, marking the milestone rather regrettably with an own goal that sealed passage for the French. A day later, he retired from international duty.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Now, Philip, as you can, of course, hear from the two callers, really, one from West Africa and another one from East Africa, one would have expected that it's only the Brazilians who are mourning yesterday's loss. But you can see this is probably something rather global.
Yeah.
What happened to the authors of The Beautiful Game, Samba, as it has come to be known?
Well, you know, in the past, you remember just several years ago, they were doing that Jogo Bonito, and Brazil lost when they were doing that Jogo Bonito. They went back and said that, well, we don't want to just play beautiful soccer. We want to win, right? And then so the coach this time, when he was selecting the team, he picked players that were playing in Europe that played that hard defensive game that Brazilians don't necessarily like, but they want to win. Mm. And this here came to bite them. Mm. You know, they went away from players like Robinho. They could have still used Ronaldinho. They could have used Robinho because mm-hmm. Robinho played in some of the friendlies and did well against Chile.
Yes.
If you remember, he scored against Chile.
Yes.
And they played really well. So everyone was under the impression they were going to bring in Robinho, and they didn't do it because they just wanted to be a little bit more organized.
More younger.
And, and more hungry and fighting spirit. And it just came to bite them. It didn't work.
They
and
didn't
that's
have
not
the
their
people,
game.
Frankly, that have the experience when it mattered, did they?
That's right.
Funny.
Yeah, I agree. They could have used some of those experienced players. USA also put up a good fight against Germany. Mm-hmm. They lost 1-0.
Yeah.
But just a quick comment, Shaka. I agree with Nicholas about that collision between politics and football, that comment he made. Right before the show, I heard that Nigeria was suspended by FIFA, World Football's governing body, for government interference
right.
in the administration of the sport,
right.
which is actually a quite common problem in African football, where the government ministries basically get involved in the running of the sport and not always to the benefit of the national teams.
And, of course, there are reports, frankly, that a lot of those officials who accompany or lead the teams to some of these major events, all they are interested in, frankly, is per diem and having a good time.
Cash, money. Yeah.
I think the word is boondoggle.
Uh-huh.
And we mentioned Kevin Prince-Boateng, the Ghanaian who was suspended.
Yes.
He made a comment, an interview with this German newspaper, in which he talked about what he called the amateurish organization of the Ghanaian team at the World Cup. And he brought up that exact point, Shaka, that the president of the GFA was traveling in business class to Brazil with his wife and children, while the players were scrunched up in coach. Mm-hmm. And if you're a professional soccer player, you know, your legs are your engines, and you need that space, and you need that room. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of empathize with Boateng's comments that, you know, put the focus on the players rather than the administrators.
So what do you think that governments need to do, frankly, in order to alleviate the situation, in order to improve upon the situation and to make sure that their teams actually can win? Because let's face it, you have talent. You have even a lot of Africans whom you can characterize as maybe reflecting what some call brain drain, but of course for them they sort of convert it into brain gain in the sense that they end up playing for European teams. For example, when you look at the French lineup, you had about 8 out of 23 from African countries. Look at the Boateng brothers. Look at Jerome, who is a defender on the German team. Look at his brother Kevin Prince Boateng with Ghana. He could have played for Germany.
Yeah, I think Philip kind of touched on it, that there's somehow when these players return home to play for their national team, they're not exactly bursting with pride to put that jersey on. It's something's lacking, that there's often disrespect between the players and the coaches. You know, one of the players on Ghana allegedly slapped an official during the World Cup. There's just a lot of negative stuff going on that has held back these African teams.
What about the disparities in terms of the African continent? When you look at the five teams that represented the continent, one came from Central Africa, that is Cameroon. Mm. The other three came from West Africa. You're talking about Ghana, Nigeria and Ivory Coast. And then you had one from North Africa, Algeria. What happened to East Africa? What happened to Southern Africa?
Well, you know, I think the problem is I saw some of the African qualification games, right? And I saw Nigeria play against Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ethiopian team was a good team. But the problem was that they were not strong like the Nigerians. The Nigerians were just pushing them around, frankly.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's one of the problems in terms of that soccer is the strength and the speed of the game is different. And I just honestly, just in my opinion, think that if the fields are better, then maybe it'll even out a little bit because the Ethiopians had good technique.
Mm-hmm.
They were very organized. But the Nigerians were just much stronger. On bad fields like that, it's just going to favor the stronger team.
But people like Messi are not big guys. People like Neymar is not a big guy.
They're not. But what happens is those guys are playing on carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And where in Africa, the field that they were playing on was awful. You know? And then so that takes a little bit of the skill out of the game.
Of course, the Ethiopians and not to mention the Kenyans, they might tell you, they probably compensate with being long-distance champions, including the marathons, because when it comes to those types of things, you don't see any Ghanaians.
That's right.
You don't see any Nigerians, any Ivorians. You don't see any Algerians.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I think the problem is the fields. The fields have a lot to do with it, you know? And when I'm playing in tournaments and the fields are bad, I'm always complaining because it favors the team that is, like, physically stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it takes a lot of the skill out of it. And then so if the fields are better, then you give the skilled teams a better chance to win the game.
So we're talking about the field. Surely you don't think that the South Koreans don't have, you know, world-class type of fields, or the Japanese for that matter?
Well, they have better fields than those fields that I was watching the games on. I mean, I saw Ethiopia and Nigeria. Mm. The field was awful. The ball was like this. The ball was going out, bouncing off the players' knees, and this takes a lot of the skill out of the game, really.
But aren't we probably suddenly looking at symptoms here, really? What about the fundamental root causes? What about the politics in a lot of those African countries, really? Do you really think that if you don't get your politics right, you can get some of these things right?
Well, in terms of the money issues,
yes, that, the that, corruption
that affected
accountability
more than a few African teams in Brazil, FIFA has said in the wake of these problems that they want the bonus issue to be settled in some type of agreement before the World Cup kicks off, so you don't have these type of player boycotts. Cameroon saying they're not going to get on board the plane until they get, you know, bonus money. FIFA, I think it did catch FIFA's attention. And it's a problem, Shaka, no doubt about it.
What about the organization? Because when I was doing my homework, I ran into a South African sports official who actually said that the 2010 World Cup, which of course was held in South Africa, the moment it was announced that the next World Cup was going to be in South Africa, teams like Germany, like Holland, they made reservations for training camps and what have you, that you never heard about the Africans. The Africans only came knocking when actually it was time to compete.
You know, that's a great point, Shaka. I think Germany, for this World Cup, basically built their own training camp. When they didn't like the facilities that the Brazilians were offering, they went out and built their own training facility for the tournament. And it seems like it paid dividends.
But I think it's the money issue, you know? With the European teams, they have access, they have money, organization. Mm. And frankly, in Africa, you know, the football federations are not as organized as the European federations, you know? And the money behind the German national team.
Why is that so, especially when they are even managing some of the world's richest football players?
Well, those are the players, not necessarily the federation, you know? And then so the money is just not there to build a field for them, to go to another country and build the facilities so your players can go and play there. They just don't have that kind of money.
What about the respect between some of these international stars, like Drogba, and the men or the officials that manage them? Is there respect really between those two?
Well, you know, Africa really has to examine this, because Brazil, when they send the players out in the world, they get big transfer fees for those guys.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guest, Philippe Jau, the head coach for Howard University's men's soccer team, located here in the nation's capital, and Sunny Young, host of VOA's English to Africa's The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, please. And remember to keep the African hopes alive. We are going to leave you with a live shot from the São Paulo, Brazil, as the Netherlands and Argentina prepare to take the field. Thank you so much.